I'm Hector Garcia, and in 2012, I started an advertising agency in my daughter's pink bedroom and with $750. Today, that agency is worth over $10 million. It took a lot of pain, plenty of failure, and a lot of hustle. Running a business isn't easy, but today I want to share with you what you usually don't see beyond the hustle.
Welcome to episode number 3 of Beyond the Hustle. I am Hector Garcia, and today I have a very special guest, a very special woman that is pioneering the media landscape here in Houston. If you're from Houston, you know this woman. She is probably the most influential figure of our time in media news outlets here in the market. But not only that, she is an incredible inspiration to myself, my family. She's changed my life and the lives of many others around the community. There's a lot of coincidences between me and this special guest here. We come from the same neighborhoods, the same schools. I could not be more proud to introduce to you guys one of my best friends, and also I'm proud to call her my sister, Griselda Castillo of Grizzly's Hood News.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Thank you, Hector, man. You made me cry. I'm like, oh my gosh, hold on, these eyelashes are about to fall off. But no, thank you so much for those kind words. You inspire me as well. You know, like, real recognizes real. Like, when there are situations where a person has hustle, determination, we don't meet a lot of people like that. You know, it's easier to sit back and just do the routine. And when somebody ventures out and takes a gamble on yourself, that is like amazing. And I think that's what we both have done.
Yeah, it's the grit. Yes. You know, and the thing is, it's the purpose of this podcast is to talk about, you know, the stories beyond the hustle.
Yes.
Everybody sees you. You have over, by the way, some facts here. Grizzy has over 20 million people watching her episodes and her segments on social media. Facebook alone has 1 million followers. But you got to understand, some people don't follow, but they just watch the videos and somehow it gets up on their feeds.
And we like that too, man. So thank you.
So many different platforms, but we are going to take a deep dive into the person behind the camera, the person behind what you see, the voice, the crazy stories. But there is something special about what's happening in Houston that's getting the attention from around the world. We have people from Australia, England.
What's up, blokes?
Yeah. Mexico tuning in too as well. But let's dive into your past, Grizzy. Let's talk about your childhood.
Yeah, yeah. So born and raised Houstonian. You know, I was born on the north side to mom and dad. My dad's from Panama. My mom, she's from San Benito, Texas. I came up growing up from a blue-collared, hardworking dad. Like, my dad worked as a plumber. He became a master plumber, owned a company, went bankrupt because he didn't know like the whole science of owning a business, paying his guys on a Thursday, and then he can't count on them the rest of the days. Like, being a good guy messed over my dad's company. Mm. So I got to watch that, but I became his little receptionist because he would start working for himself. So I'd have my little people skills. I'm like, hi, Panama's plumbing, you know, just really cute, you know, but also a lot of turmoil in our house. You know, my mom and dad got married when she was 17, I think. And 17, and he was 27. So there's a huge gap there. Nowadays, that would have been like, oh my God. Back in the day, that was a different time, I guess, or I don't know how to explain that. But I told my dad, man, hey, you would have been on that list, homie. It is what it is. Out comes little Grizzy. Mm-hmm. And so I had a father that worked very hard into nervous breakdowns.
Right.
A lot of mental issues also there with my dad, you know, without going into specifics. Mm-hmm. He tried the best he could, but that meant that we would pay the price. You know, when people back in the day, there was such a stigma on mental health. So my daddy, he didn't get the help he needed. And, you know, we were caught up in that crossfire. My mom, most definitely, you know, she suffered a lot of abuse. We as well, you know, at the hands of my dad.
Right.
And so everything was like always on eggshells, just watching his moods, reading the room when we come home, make sure we were good. So there were lots of good times, but there were also bad times. Mm. And, you know, I like to share some of those experiences all the time with my followers because domestic violence and domestic turmoil is real. And it's now something that people can come out and admit, hey, you know, I suffered that and whatnot. So I grew up always stressed, mm-hmm. I guess, as a kid, not sleeping well and whatnot. And so, yeah, I grew up loving school, preferring to be at school more, hating when the summer came around because that meant we had to be home. I got into every activity like sports. I played soccer, band. I was in the band all those years from middle school to high school. You know, just spelling bee, anything I could get into, I was part of because school was my happiness. So, yeah, shout out to all my nerds out there, the hood nerds. What's
hey,
up?
We probably sat at the same lunch table. By the way, me and Grizzy both went to the same elementary, Grace Raymond.
Grace Raymond Elementary.
And then also Grantham.
Grantham Middle School. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who we are and how we were raised when we were young.
Yes.
In those years from birth to, like, elementary, middle school, we still respond a certain way today because of how what happened to us when we were young.
It shapes you.
It shapes you to who you are. And you talk about the story of, you know, how, you know, you have to fight the battles. And I always mention this too as well, is that we fight the battles today that our parents couldn't fight for
us.
We take up those arms and we're fighting those battles because they couldn't, or they were too busy, you know, working to put food on the table, and they didn't even think about any of this stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And or too proud to ask for help or all those things. You know, I grew up with a dad. I got this. I'm going to provide. And then just buckling and stressing. And you know, me and my mom and my brother at the time, it's four of us, you know, all together. But during those years, it was just myself and my younger brother. And, you know, always leaving the grandmas. Hey, we got to go. Something happened. I think they were fighting. I think something happened to mom. Hey, we're going to go to grandma's now. And that constant back and forth, you know, it prepared me, I guess, in my adult years to respond to stress in a way that a lot of people don't. Like, sometimes we can turn the problems or our issues or our traumas into strengths. You know, like I'm really calm when shit pops off. Like, like I'm calm. People are like, dang, this just happened right now. I'm like, hey, we got to figure it out. You know, we got to do this. We got to do that. So we can use those bad things to do
in
good.
A good way.
Yeah,
right.
You
can't choose what happens to you in life.
No,
but you can choose how you react to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
for sure.
And you know, and you're a true testament of that.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have you today. And
thank you.
And
to I'm excited to be here
to dive into even more of who you are in the background. So you go through your middle school years, then go to high school. And then tell me about that area, because now you're growing up and
So I took a little baggage on me. I'm gonna be like really forthcoming here. Like as a child, you know, sometimes when you got a young mom and an older dad, like sometimes there's nobody really watching for the kid. You know, like the kid. Oh, we're working hard. We're hired. You know, I'm cooking. I'm doing this, and somewhere in between all of that, there was a lot of neglect. And I was molested as a child, and that I used that knowledge, that stuff that I know from my experience as a child, to help advocate for children. Hey, parents, keep an eye out. These are the signs. This is what you should be on the lookout for: bedwetting, urinary tract infections, all these different things. I like to use, and it's crazy. It's just something I've been through, you know, and it helps me get fired up to help kids, you know.
Right.
Like I can't stand a chomo. Mm-hmm. And that is like a child molester, for those that don't know, you know, what chomo is. There needs to be stricter laws. I really, that's like a passion of mine.
Sure.
Go get them. And it's great to see our law enforcement these days. They're tackling a lot of that. Like you're going to start seeing more and more headlines like so-and-so got arrested. This guy, hey, they did this bust. We're seeing it because it's such a huge problem.
Right.
And so I'm here to tell people, stay strong. You're not the only one that's been, you know, done something wrong, and you can pull through, and God's got your back. And so does the community. It's okay to ask for help, and don't be afraid. You're not the bad one. Mm-hmm. That's more than anything. That's what I say. You're not at fault. You did nothing wrong. But we got to catch the person that did this to you.
So, you know, all that shapes to who you are as now an adult. Mm-hmm. And going into your adulthood, you go to a party scene too, right? You're going into we were talking about the other day that we both rocked Richmond Avenue, the Strip,
So
Coco Loco.
19 years old, I get tossed out the house because my dad found out that I was working. My dad was like old school macho. Like, I'm going to put you through. Yeah, you're not going to work. His mentality, I'm going to give him some credit. My dad got mad. He found out that I was working at the spaghetti warehouse right next to U of H downtown. Mm-hmm. And he said, he comes home and he's like, where the fuck you been? And like, it was his Panamanian accent. And he saw the spaghetti warehouse name tag on me. Mm. He grabbed it, snatched it. He looks, he's like, fuck. What he did not want me to do was work and not focus on my university school, studies. Right. So I was studying criminal justice, and we'll get into all that in a little bit. But I was like, Dad, you know, don't be mad. And my brother snapped at him. He's like, you should be happy. She bought me all my school clothes. So he tossed both of us out, my 15-year-old brother and my 19-year-old self, out into the world. And I never came back home. I just flat out refused to come back home. I was like, hell no, bro. What are you going to do? My brother ended up joining the military. We stayed out in the streets of Houston for a little bit. Stayed with grandma, moved around. I lived in Bel Air, Texas for a while. And I ended up dropping out of school because it was just not even.
Right.
It was hard. It was really hard. And so, you know, that began my party life from the age of 19 to 23. Let me see. So it would be Coco Loco. No, Friday Night, the Roxy. Freaky Fridays. Coco Loco, T-Town, or any other club on Saturdays.
Thursdays.
Yeah, yeah. Even Asian nights on at Roxy, too, on Saturdays. And then Sundays was Coco Loco. Like, Cristal Nightclub. So in that order, mix them up if you want, whatever.
That was a scene in those days. We don't have those nowadays.
Yeah. No,
you know, you don't have, it's more of a bar type setup.
Yeah, I feel bad for the kids because I'm like, dang, they won't know what it's like to have like a badass DJ, like a constant, you know, or on the radio.
Right.
All of those elements are pretty much gone. Who listens to the radio? Nobody.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We all got our playlists. We don't want commercials. You know, we're in our cars jamming.
Right.
The kids don't know what it's like to listen to the radio on a Saturday
night.
Or
go cruising on Richmond.
Yes. Yes, man. All of that. Like, Chi-Chi's flashing.
It was Mardi Gras every weekend.
Dudes on Broncos. Back in the day, there were Broncos. You know, those trucks, the OJ trucks. You know, people, you know, just everybody pulling up, low riders. It was like the scene, man. I really miss the socializing for the kids.
Yeah.
Everything's on text now. So it's not like in person. I don't even think people hold conversations the way we used to. Like, we used to talk on the phone for hours. Those were our means of socializing. And I think it's a tragedy for the young ones these days.
They not experience that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were at our age, we were also exposed to so much more at a younger age. Almost like we were older at a younger age. We were, I say this a lot, you know, today a 30-year-old is equivalent to a 30-year-old today is equivalent to a 20-year-old in our era.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Because the maturity is not there because there's a lot of protection. Our times have changed, which in some part of it is good. Like, it's protection. You know, they're not exposed to lots of things. But I remember being at 16 in Coco Loco and seeing like two girls going at it with each other behind with the flashlight on them. I mean, I hope my kids aren't listening, but there's so many things that I was exposed to at a young age, but I grew up really fast.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And more street savvy.
Yeah.
More street savvy.
Yeah. And those things aren't prevalent. Like, it doesn't happen nowadays.
Now we want our kids home. We don't even want them being outside. We don't even want them go grab the mail. Like, I with my own daughter, like, I got a 24-year-old, right? And just real quick, can I say this? Haters, I only got one kid, man. Y'all are giving me like 5-6 kids. If that's true, reunite me with my children, please, because I would love to have more. I'm an empty nester with only one daughter. She's an adult woman, 24 years old. Where are my other children at? Please, somebody, like I say, just give me my kids. If there's a lot of rumors, oh, she's got like 5-6 kids. I'm like, where? I mean, I might look like it, but no, I don't. I only got one. So I remember just always being more like, Maddie, don't go get the mail, Mama. I got it. I'll go get the mail. Why did you go outside? Like, it's just crazy.
Because, and we've seen stuff, right? And that's why we protect our kids, exactly. And so they don't have to. They don't get snatched up, right? They don't get put into sex trafficking and all these different things. So we do our things as parents to protect our kids, and so it's a little bit extra shelter today than what it was. Back when I was kicked out of my house at 19, 18 years old, too, from partying too much.
Wow, that's another coincidence. Yeah.
I was going to Toke Bar and Pink Monkey in downtown.
Oh, my goodness.
All those
bars, yes.
But, you know, from the party scene, you were also exposed to some other stuff, too, as well, that got you into trouble.
Yes, I went down a crazy route. So I was living as a single mom. I got pregnant at 20, and I had my daughter at 21. And I was a single mother out there living in the Greens Point area. I was working for AT&T, telemarketing, and trying my best. But, you know, when you have, what was it, like $200 daycare a week or something at the time. This was 2000. Yeah, this was 2000. And so I had this daycare fee and then rent and then car note and then everything. It was just so hard. And one day there was some sort of tropical storm, and I was living on the second story of some apartments over there off of Aldine Bender. And all of a sudden, people are like, hey, our bottom floor is flooded. Can we go up to your apartment? And me being friendly and being nice, I was like, yeah, sure. So I had like six different people in my apartment, and they were looking around. They're like, you speak English, right? I'm like, yeah. They didn't speak English. I think they were like Central American people. And they said, well, shoot, like, you're not living well. Like, we can see that you have a bed on the ground. We see your crib. There's not much food in the fridge. You're struggling, but you're from here. And I'm like, yeah, you know, single mom, trying to, where do you work at? And so I gave them a little bit of my story. And the dude was like, one guy, go with me tomorrow on this trip. We're going to go to Taylor, Texas. And I promise you, your financial situation is going to get good. Man, that opened the door into the world of shoplifting. Mm. Like, when I see the shoplifters, a part of the hood news is that we're always calling out the bandits. I've been there, done that. I became a certified booster at the age of like 21, about to be 22. And like, there was a whole underworld of like where you can get this, like certain things people ask for, you go get it in bulk, steal it out the stores, go on cross-country trips. I'd go to Michigan, Virginia, Colorado, all these different places, loading up on all these requested, like baby milk, baby formula, razors, this, that, makeup, and like filling up entire storage units with this stuff and then shipping it back, like bringing it back to Houston for major bulk sale. Man, it was crazy. I did that so many times, and I was like, I think I hit $1 million. I'm not even gonna lie, I think I've been a millionaire at one point in my life or another, because I was even getting other people. Like, it was like a big web,
right?
Thank God that things were starting to happen to slow me down. Because when you get arrested enough times, and that was happening to me, I got arrested in Cold Springs, Colorado. I got arrested in Houston a bunch of times, Brazoria County once. I think I was in Lake Jackson or somewhere and got arrested. I can't even remember all the times, you know, it's just so much. And so a lot of stuff would get dropped, but some things would stick. And if you get three times, then you're moving on to your felony. Mm-hmm. You know, three misdemeanors will turn into a felony. And I didn't want to slow down. Like, I didn't want to ever go back to work. Like, when I got that first, so I went with this guy to Tyler, Texas. When we came back, he gave me $1,300 from what we did all day long, just fill up a purse, walk out the store with it. And I was like, I ain't ever working again. Mm. This is for me. I get to be with my kid. I get to do this. Man, and it was ideal at the time. And see, I know the mindset of the young people doing this today. And I'm here to tell you, that money, man, like, it, you will use it on legal fees. You will use it to bail people out of jail so they can be quiet and not tell on you. You will use it for your own bail, for your own attorney. That money is good, maybe, if you know what you're doing, but it doesn't even pay out. It doesn't pan out at the end. I have nothing to show for that past life, you know, but a bunch of problems, you know, that it created. So in 2003, on April 10th, HPD busted me down. I gotten involved in some robberies, you know, where we started robbing folks and robbing businesses.
So you're
yeah, it escalated. Started to escalate to other That's things. That's what I say now. Like, try to stop them, right? People don't. People are so basic. They're like, oh, she thinks she's a police, or she thinks she's better than anybody. Man, fuck y'all. At the end of the day, it's about trying to save a life, dude. Like, if y'all don't get it, you want to be simple, or you just don't like me, whatever. But be truth. Being the truth and stuff like that, truthfully, we're trying to prevent somebody from getting killed or saving them some time, man. And I do get those letters, those messages sometimes. Hey, Grizzy, you blasted me and my boyfriend, my ex-boyfriend now, 2 years ago, and I want to thank you because I saw myself on video and that we had stole something off an old lady's porch, and I didn't know she was an old lady. And man, the comments were tearing me up, and I feel so much better knowing that I stopped and I'm not that person anymore. And I just want to thank you. I do get thank yous. I get a lot of FUs, a lot of fuck Grizzy and all this bullshit. But at the end of the day, I know what I'm out here doing, man. And I sleep good. I laugh at the haters. At the end of the day, I read the comments like, oh yeah, that shit's funny, man. I'm eating snacks, whatever. It's called maturity. we know right from wrong. I wish somebody would have stopped me back then. I wish there was a hood news that would have stopped me in my bullshit, because I would have never had to do a 7-year sentence for aggravated robbery.
You would have called yourself out.
Yeah. I would have, man. Somebody would have called yourself out. If not me, somebody else. Something.
That's one thing I noticed, and we can go back. We'll talk about the haters in a little bit, but, you know, I noticed a lot of people obviously throw shade because they feel like, I guess, you know, she's.
They think I'm
ratting them out.
Yeah, it's not even that.
But I know you, right? And I know, like, you know, even just based off the story, first off, you embrace your story.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that you're proud of what you did, but you're proud that you came out of it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you've embraced your story, and you're grateful that it happened that way, because it changed, it probably saved your life.
Yeah, things do escalate. Like a common thief, which is what I was at one point, just a stealing, it did turn into something worse. You know, you get desperate. Oh, shit, I'm already on probation over here in Brazoria County. Damn, man, I got to pay this attorney by this month. I got to pay the probation fees. I've got to do all this stuff. Damn, I got to go. In my mind, I said, I'm going to go rob. You know, I knew some dudes that were out there robbing folks. We started with the dope dealers, you know, rob bad people. But then, when you rob the plug, that's like knocking on the door, looking cute, and then they go in. Like, you make a name for yourself, and that was just bad, too. So I feel like God intervened the day that we robbed a truly innocent person. Then that's when all the shit crumbled, man, and rightfully so. And, man, if I could take all that stuff back, I would. If I would have just known that there were resources and help out there. There's a lot of stuff. Like, you don't have to be poor. You don't have to choose to be struggling. There are ways out of that that don't involve breaking the law or hurting somebody, man. The day we fucked with people that were innocent was the day God said, sit your ass down. And he sat me down. He could have fried me. I could have gotten shot. I've been shot before right here under my chichi. I've been shot at, you know, I know all of that. And he calmed me down, man. He put me on the back burner for a little while till I figured it out. And see, Hector, I'm going to be real honest. When I got busted, arrested with the aggravated robbery, I didn't feel bad. Like, I didn't feel bad. I felt bad for myself.
Right.
I felt bad for my kid, for my family. But I think year five, when my release was close, I'm like, damn, it was horrible. Like, y'all did some fucked up shit. Like, we did bad stuff. Right. I'm like, damn, man, you know,
what was that moment like? I mean, obviously you've been now serving time.
Crying, a lot of like, damn, you know, I need to get right. Like, I'm going to go back into this world. Like, I don't want to ever do this again. I don't want to live like this. Like, dude, I did time with like Susan Wright, the chick that stabbed her man like 180 something times. Mm. I did time with Lily Hernandez, this girl that shot a young church boy in the knees over some dollars he had in his pockets. I did time with Anita Williams, a lady that put her baby like in hot water. Like, the rumors, I don't know if this is the truth, but the rumors were that she cooked her baby and all these different things. So I did time with some notorious people. And you know, you don't get to choose, you know, what room or dorm you live in. You could have a crackhead for a freaking cellmate. Like, man, it was like really like you have no choice. You got to spread cheeks every day. I know we giggle about that, you know, some of my videos.
But you lived it.
Yeah, I lived it. Spread cheeks like tons of times. Like, oh, my God, like a lot. So, man, the great state of Texas released from a criminal to a good woman, man. I came out like really having good heart. Like, I just want to care about people. I want to help where I can. And who better than me? Somebody who's been there, done that on both sides. You know, I'm doing good now, but I also have that little past that I can relate. And that's my message for people. You don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay shackled. Shackle is not forever. Like, you can come out on top. You can, for your kids, man, you can create prosperity, opportunities for yourself. Your past does not define your future. You don't have to be locked up for the rest of your life. You can actually get out and earn a fruitful living. I did. I worked for a corporation, you know, for almost 10 years. I went back into the working world. I became a paralegal also. Went back to school because I had a lot of credits at U of H downtown. Right. Transferred them over to HCC. Got my associate's degree. After this, once my kid is done, I'm going to U of H. So I want to do something.
Continue your education and keep going and learn more. And grow your knowledge.
Yeah. And that's how you stay young too, you know, like always educating yourself.
So in those 5 years, going back to the 5 years that you were there and served time.
Yeah, seven years.
Was there any moment that just stood out then that just you feel like that changed your life? That just one moment or something that was said to you while you were there or anything that you say, you know what? Because you said right towards the end that something changed that caused you to start crying. Was there something specific that occurred or just?
I had a lot of pen pals. Like there's a lot of Captain Save-A-Hos, and I hate to say it like that, but there's a lot of gentlemen that think that they're going to change a female that's locked up. And there's a lot of men that show interest in women. And I came across this chapter where I had a lot of pen pals, you know, like my aunt, she uploaded one of my pictures. Like, hey, it started off with a nice, you know, I just want somebody to write me because, you know, I wanted just letters, you know, your mom, your family. See, my family, they've never dealt with being locked up. You know, they don't know anything about commissary. They didn't know anything. They would send me money every now and then, a letter every now and then, but they didn't know like
how to handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not about that life. And some people you could tell like their families were used to it. They already knew what to do. I know what to do. If I have a family member locked up, I'm going to be supportive. Right. But I told my aunt, I said, man, I just want somebody to write me. Man, like that little mugshot of mine that y'all like floating around. It got me a bunch of pen pals. I had dudes in like Florida, California. I get visits. I was like, okay, maybe I'll marry a great guy. They're all creepy. Don't believe none of that shit, man. You don't need nobody, y'all, for real. Anyways, but it was when I was introducing myself to somebody that was really nice looking guy. He's like, oh, I'm successful. I do this. I do that. Trying to explain myself in a letter what I've done because he was like, what would make you want to do that?
Right.
And when I'm writing the letter, I couldn't even make sense of it myself. Like, I come from a hardworking family. My mom and dad work hard, man. And I just realized I was a reflection in maybe somebody else's eyes of the lack of bringing up or not bringing them up, like whatever, the upbringing. And I was like, damn, I shouldn't be here. Like, this isn't even right. Like, I'm explaining I have a great family, but here I am in prison. That's fucked up. You know, I'm like, I started crying. I didn't even finish writing that letter. I wasn't even interested. And I was like, dang, man, like, this is real. Like, I will have this monkey on my back forever.
Right.
And
it's true because you still deal with that.
I still deal with it, yeah.
It gets thrown in your face.
Yeah,
as if
I own
it's
that shit, though, but I'm not going to let no bitch tell my story.
Right.
I'm not going to let no bitch tell my story. Excuse the French, but bleep, bleep. But, yeah, I rather tell my story. And it's something I debated about, Hector, when I first had Hood News, like, 6 months in, or no, 7-8 months into having Hood News, there was a female. She was running for a city council, and she created a fake profile. She was mad because I didn't want to support her campaign because she was going to bars and not really like, dang, y'all, hey, y'all, people like running for any kind of office. We don't want to see y'all in clubs. We don't want to see you drinking and asking for donations at bars. We want to see you picking up trash. We want to see you doing the work. We want to see you out there. That hey, how are you doing? Is there something we can do for you? That's the leadership we want to see, right?
Right.
So I'm over here with this lady. And I'm like, man, I don't even want to be here. Like, I got Hood News to do, man. I don't want to be writing no mechanical bull, you know, on Facebook Live. That's stupid. So the lady, I guess she felt some type of way. She created some troll accounts, which I linked back to her. I was like, this dumb bitch.
What the
heck?
Yeah.
So this lady attempted to throw my mugshot in the comments. Or say that I had been locked up for aggravated robbery. So that, like...
By the way, this is a potential city council. Or was it a city council member?
No, she wanted to be. She's a wannabe. She ain't ever going to be nothing.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah,
man,
yeah. She's a so-called doctor.
It's scary to think that some of these people can make it that try to go for it and we vote for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, if you want to know who it is, it's in my earlier videos. Y'all got 30 days search. Because they're about to delete all that crap on Facebook. So if you want to go look, you sure can. Yeah. Baby, go look. Anyway, so... I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this bitch tell my story. I'm going to tell it. So I went on a Facebook Live rant. I said, look, I don't know if y'all give a shit, if y'all care about this or not, but I was locked up from 2003 to 2009. I got out on parole for 6 months. I served time for aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon times 3, I think, or 2. I don't even remember. But I did a lot of other things too, you know, so it's whatever. And so when you do a lot of bad, it's hard to keep up with this shit, man. That's sad, man. You would think I wouldn't remember. I can't. And you know, Hector, like I told the followers on that day, I wish I could say I was a crackhead. I wish I could say I was on drugs. I wish I could say I was an alcoholic, or that there was something and an excuse. No, I did that shit because I was a sorry ass person. I was bad. Mm. I wanted that quick money. I wanted to not work. I was greedy. I was an opportunist. I was a piece of shit. And that's what it is. I'm not that anymore.
Right.
I'm not defined by my past. I'm a good person and I love people. I love animals, elderly, you know, the kids. I just want better. So nobody has to be where I've been, or nobody has to be on the receiving end of what the hell I was doing out there.
Yeah. And perspective too, as well, is that not only are you saving lives of victims, mm-hmm. but also saving lives of criminals.
Yeah. We're trying. You know, they don't want to see that message, right. though. Some people are, you know, like, a lot of people are like, oh, y'all are judgmental. Y'all think, no, it ain't even that. We don't want to see y'all doing this stuff, man. Yeah. Like, it's making us look bad. That's why we got people saying, build the wall higher, mm-hmm. make the wall, deport them all. Or oh, well, the stupid comments that racist people make,
yep.
especially us Hispanic and black folks, man. Like, I want us to prevail. I want us to look good. You know, I don't want people dragging us down because of some youngsters. And we need to be guiding people, man. It shouldn't be okay or make excuses for people out there committing crimes and hurting people. That's why we see all that kickback.
And while you were there, you also had your daughter too, as well. Mm-hmm. That while you were serving time.
Yeah, it was so hard, man. I got mm-hmm. out and she was like a little person, man. Mm-hmm. I missed first day of school. She was locked up. I got locked up when she was 3. Well, yeah, 3. 2003. It was so hard to get out and be a mom to a 9-year-old. So I was like, damn, man, like all this time flew by, and thank God that she forgave me.
Right.
Like there were one or two times where she threw that, well, you weren't in my life. You were locked up. You didn't give a shit. And I'm like, damn, in my mind, in my reasoning at the time, I was doing things so that we wouldn't have to be away from each other. Mm-mm, God said, I'm gonna show you what it is to be away.
Initially, you're doing it for her.
Yeah, right? I thought.
Right?
You know,
what you thought, right?
Yeah,
you're
that's doing what I thought.
For a better life.
Yes. If I really mm-hmm. meant to be for her, though, I would have been busting my ass working. Eventually, I would have gotten like maybe a promotion, another job. I didn't have the creativity or the strength. I chose a cop out to go rob people and go steal.
You know, fast mm-hmm. life.
Fast money.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so now you're out. You're now get yourself, like you said, you become a paralegal and all these different things. Yes. And then, how did everybody, we all know the story. If you follow Hood News, pretty much most of you guys know the story. But, you know, there's some people who are new. In fact, just last week I met somebody who came from Kentucky, and he was in town, and he's like, I heard about this Hood News. What's the story behind it? But I'm sure there's a lot of newbies who are watching are fresh into the Houston. How did Hood News come about? Like, what came about that?
All right. So 2009, I get out of prison. I started working for a seafood joint for several years, peeling shrimp, assistant manager, you know, cleaning and doing all kinds of stuff, smelling like fish every day, coming out home from work. And I got tired of it. My hands started cramping up. I'm like, man, my hands are cramping up. I can't take this no more. I went back to school, got a job as a paralegal for a law firm, but she didn't want to pay me what I was worth. Always know what you are worth. Always know your dollar amount too, man. Mm-hmm. Like, we do have a price. We do have a worth. And don't ever take less than what you're worth, because somebody else will pay. Somebody will appreciate you. And that's exactly what I did. I went and put I submitted a resume over to some lovely ladies. They looked at it. They were excited because I had like a lot of skills. You know, I went and got a lot of programming classes at HCC. It looked good on paper. They didn't run something happened. I think they did run it, but maybe it didn't come about. I ended up getting a job for a forklift company, like number 2 or 3 in the world. And it was a corporate job, and everything went good. Like they liked me. I was working as a temp through that agency. And one day they had a meeting. They're like, hey, your background came in. They wanted to hire me. And your background came in, Grizzy, but we don't hire felons. We don't even know how this even happened, because this doesn't happen. So they flew in some executives and had a meeting about little old Grizzy. And I got hired because there was just nothing but good things said. Man, this girl works like she ain't ever, like she's ready to go. Like she's all the time. Mm. And that's the thing, hire felons, man. We're ready to work. We're ready to prove to you guys what we're about, man. Hire a felon. Don't take that chance. Mm-hmm. People do change. Man, I want
everybody deserves a second chance.
Yeah, I would mm-hmm. I would be there first in the morning, last in the evening, driven. I showed you one time a graphic, right? Like me compared to the other workers. Yep. Dude, I was like, man, you thought I was a hired person from overseas or something the way I was working. Baby. So after I worked for this corporation, unfortunately, they weren't used to a Hispanic felon woman. Mm. Like that, those three, man, like the respect for women wasn't that great. Like they, a lot of stupid comments.
In the industry too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, I'm kind of standoffish sometimes. Hey, respect the woman, respect us. You know, we're good. Like I don't need this kind of stuff.
Right.
Let me give you an example. One time we had a one of those potlucks, the ones that you don't want to eat from. You know, you can't eat everybody's cooking. Like, let's be real, man. Some of these people don't even wash their hands, right? So we were at a potluck, and there was a lot of food left over. And somebody said, "Hey," a guy named Trent. He says, mm-hmm. "Hey, Grizzy, do you want all this food to take to all your kids?" I was like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, motherfucker. Like in my head, you know, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, how many kids do you think I have? And he said, don't you have like 4 or 5? I said, sir, I only got one. And no, we don't want none of that. I don't know what hands it was prepared with. Right. And I walked all pompous and stuff like, you know, and they're like, they had to come and apologize to me. There was an email issued and everything. They didn't know how to deal with like, there were stereotypes thrown at me. One time an executive was flown in and they were meeting everybody. When these executives fly in, it's like meeting like a family member from far away, you know, especially these companies. They try to keep a good relationship with everybody and they're just held at the highest standard. Like, hey, this person's really great. So we were all dressed up, excited. I'm at my desk typing like, and he's like, hey, this is so-and-so. Hey, this is so-and-so. Hey, right here, we've got our Jenny from the block. This is Grizzy. And I was so sad, man. Mm. I was so sad. I was like, man, I said, no, sir. Hi, nice to meet you. My name is Grizzy. Grizzy from the hood.
Mm.
And he just like, he didn't even know. It was so awkward.
Right.
And even the guy that introduced us, he was like, oh my God, I just messed up.
Yeah.
And that was like my shot, you know, to meet the executive, the one of the owners, whatever. And I was just so mad. I was just typing on my computer. Eventually I had enough of all of that. And I was like, you know what? I'm really bored. I was suicidal. Mm-hmm. Like work can make you suicidal. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna tell y'all this. 2019, your girl wanted to cut up her arms and I did. I wanted to kill myself. I didn't want to be here. But I thought about it. I'm like, damn, after I cut myself, I needed help. You know, I called for help because I'm like, my daughter's gonna be the one that finds me. I'm not with anybody. I'm here by myself. I'm not really close to my family the way I should be.
Right.
Damn, she's going to be the one that finds me. And she might find me all rotten somewhere in a corner. Oh, hell no. So I'm like, no. Because of the love I have for my daughter, I didn't go through and I asked for help, right? But that job was sending me into like some kind of like depression where you're hanging on, but you're being disrespected and all these different things. And somewhere in there, I found therapy because I believe in therapy, right? Mm-hmm. And I started taking my phone with me, my cracked iPhone. And I would record funny stuff. It was like two ladies dancing in the middle of the street, you know, whatever. Just weird things like arguing, hood fights, house on fire, the, you know, whatever. And little by little, I was like, man, I'm always doing this. Why don't I do something called Hood News and just do like a parody, like funny?
Because
I would do a lot of funny commentary. And I was like, all right. There was an ambulance over at Mi Tienda, mm-hmm. the store. And I stood in front of it, and I had just gotten out of work. I had my scarf. I was looking all professional, so what better time to look like a reporter, right? So I had the microphone. I'm like, hi, everyone. My name is Grizzy Castillo. I'm here with the Hood News and kind of cackling and laughing.
Yeah.
we've got somebody in there. The ambulance is outside Mi Tienda, and I'm just telling y'all right now, be careful eating all these delicious tacos because somebody's blood pressure went up. And, like, that video went viral. I was like, oh, my God, people are watching this nonsense of mine. Some people were like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, is she doing news? Like, what is this? Mm-hmm. My friends, they were like, they didn't understand, like, what I was doing. But when I started doing it many, many times, it got to where I was covering Slab Sundays. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the thing. Like, it started with, like, culture stuff. Like,
right.
The slabs, the lowriders, going to lowrider shows. And then, like, little by little, people were like, hey, can you raise awareness for this Crime Stoppers? We're trying to raise more money. A little boy named Josue Flores on the north side, he got stabbed by this unknown male. And they were...
He was walking home from school.
Yeah, walking home from school. He wanted to be a doctor, this little boy. Mm. And he was so precious. And, like, this happened before the Hood News even started. But, like, about a year later, the lowrider community reached out to me because they wanted me to help put the word out that there was going to be a benefit to collect more money so they could find out who did this to this precious boy. Right. So I'm like, yeah, you know. And then when I started doing that, more people reached out. Hey, can you create awareness? My son, 45, he was murdered. He was a rapper, up-and-coming rapper named 45. And they're like, hey, we want to raise awareness that he was murdered and we don't know who did it and we want answers. We have ideas, but we need somebody to step forward. So storytelling every day, like all these different things happening. Then the next thing you know, somebody sent me a car accident video. Hey, this kid is missing. It just became what it is. Like, it started off as jokes, like interviewing naked people on the side of the street to like, hey, this is a naked person out here. We need mental health evaluations. We need this. We need that. Can we get resources for this person? It became from lack of understanding to full, like, hey, we need to support each other. We need to look out for each other. Be on the lookout. Heads on the swivel. Let's go.
Yeah, and in the middle of all this, too, as well, you have no journalistic background.
None.
This is purely your heart and learning at the same time.
Yes.
A lot of mistakes along the way, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of, we talk about as business owners and entrepreneurship, is that part of the process and as entrepreneurs and business owners is that we make mistakes and we learn from our mistakes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so you are, we're still learning, right?
Yeah.
That never stops.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you are having the responsibility because you discovered a purpose here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And through your purpose, you're now trying to say, okay, how do I put this in a journalistic way without miscommunicating the wrong facts, right? And I'm sure that's a level of stress.
Yeah, well, the good thing is I have that paralegal background, so mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with the slander, defamation, stating facts, being as truthful as possible. If we don't know, I got a perfect line. We have more questions than answers at this time. Bam. You don't know something? Don't make up nothing. Just what you know. And there was a lot of questions, no answers. And then one day, somebody broke into a barbecue joint. They smashed the window. There was cops out there. And I had my little microphone. It was so funny, y'all. I used to go with a purse, with a karaoke, with a long cord on it, a karaoke microphone in my purse, tucked in all the cord. And I'd really interview people and they would stand with the everybody
with
took
the
it serious.
Mic,
yes, everybody took it seriously. And then somebody gifted me a microphone with a box around it. We put the Hood News sticker. Baby, you couldn't tell me I wasn't shit. Like, you could not tell me that I wasn't a reporter. And so, like, you can really call things into existence without even trying. Like, seriously, friends, I have no bachelor's degree in journalism or any of that stuff, but I had enough heart and a bunch of common sense. Hey, people just want to know what happened.
And you know, speaking of that, we could talk about, you know, some people in media, last name Shay, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do you handle people who say you don't fit the mold of traditional media?
Doing better than you, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, we're doing better than you.
That's a mic drop.
You've been doing this for how long?
5 years.
And how many, what you got going on?
Woo.
And since y'all like numbers, they like numbers. I don't give a shit. To me, like a million followers is scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Friend, I'm getting lots of messages. That means more headache, more this, more that. People congratulate me, but it's so stressful. And I get it. Like, it's great. But what those numbers are again?
Yeah. Woo. You know, and you know, 20 million a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I come from media myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at one of my stations that I worked with just recently, and they were asking questions about Grizzy and saying, what does she do? And what is she, I guess, trying to know the insights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. They're good people.
Yeah.
Some of them, most of them are good
people.
Yeah,
they mean well.
Yeah, they mean well. But, you know, coming from that, I started at 16 working in media. So I've always been, media has always been a part of my life, right? And, but when I first came across you a couple of years ago and I started following you and then seeing how, and what really captivated me was that you were at a SWAT standoff a year and a half ago.
Oh yeah. That one.
In Northeast Side.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching, you know, all the TV outlets, major media outlets who have billions of dollars backing them up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who were like two blocks away or even blocks away. And here was Grizzy right across, I think, the backyard of somebody's house.
Yeah, right there with the U.S. Marshals. Baby, we were looking right over a U.S. Marshal truck. I'm like, hey, we're right here, right, yeah. Right, live on the scene. No drones up and close.
You had the guy who was, I guess, he grabbed onto he was grabbing onto something.
Yeah,
right?
The rook. Okay, so this suspect shot a Harris County Sheriff's deputy, man.
Yeah.
He got pulled over on a simple stop. They asked for ID. He said, yeah, he's looking back at the footage, I'm like, damn, you know, like, he looked pleasant. He looked all right. All of a sudden, he starts shooting at the deputy. And so this guy was on the run. He even shot at undercovers. I don't know if they were U.S. Marshals or if they were with HPD or who, but the whole house was surrounded. And this guy literally, thanks to Big Ed's remodeling services and him refusing to come out, the house got destroyed right before our eyes. You know, literally, like, a wall is missing. I mean, like, this dude was hiding in the closet. They had the drones, the dogs, the robo dog go in. Mm-hmm. And this guy was, like, crouched in a closet. They punched through the closet. They told him, get on this thing and come out.
Yeah, he was holding
on. And he's holding on to it.
Yeah.
Baby.
You caught that live.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was crazy, like... But so glad that the deputy's alive. You
right.
know?
He's
like,
okay. And that's the most, obviously the most important part. But, you know, when I was sitting there and I was like, and that's when, like, the light bulbs, like, the, you know, you ever see, like, how God strikes?
Mm-hmm.
I had that moment. And I was there. Yeah, it was like you heard the angels singing in the background. Cesar, you could put that. By the way, shout out to Cesar, our producer of the podcast.
Shout out to Cesar.
Thank you, Cesar, for everything. But we were all, it was myself and the kids, and we had the TV on, but we weren't even paying attention to TV. We are watching Facebook Live because you were right there, and like we had billions of dollars streaming live. And here is this, you know, Grizzy
with the broken iPhone.
She's there, and she's in somebody's backyard, and she's through the window, and she's actually has, you know, she's has upfront coverage, and covers that nobody else has.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that's, I was like, you know what, something special is going on with her.
Yeah.
And something told me to reach out to
he
you.
Did, and, yeah, he did, and it, my response wasn't immediate. At first, and then it took a second time to come, because I didn't even think, I'm like, man, ain't nothing gonna happen with this hood new stuff, man. It was just for fun, you know. And no, it has turned into something with your help and your blessings and everything, into like where there's a team, and it's just evolved so much more.
And we're still learning,
yes,
right? And if you guys aren't know, you know, Brand Nation and the Hood News, we're one, right? We're a family. We're we're a unit together.
Yes.
But it's been quite the journey, but. You know, through that, I've learned so much about Grizzy, and, you know, a lot of people, like, now we can talk about the haters.
Okay.
You know, and I just, like, when I see stuff being floated online and I see the comments and I see all that stuff, like, man, they don't know who this woman is, or they took a little anthill and turn it to a mountain.
Yeah.
Right? And they talk about how you the four or five kids running in the streets and stuff like that.
Somebody said, I got child endangerment. I'm like, where? I ain't never abused no kid. Look it up. 1180861. That's my spin number. Go
ahead. And the thing is, you know, I always say this, and I have to remind myself too, as I get a level of hate as a business owner too as well.
That's crazy.
But not to the extent of what Grizzy has. But, you know, you're not doing anything great unless you have hate.
Yeah, yeah.
With greatness comes the hatred. People are always going to hate something they cannot ever accomplish in life.
Mm-hmm.
They see a greater purpose in you, and some people be envious and jealous of that.
Yes.
They're going to throw your past. They're going to throw everything at you. Mm-hmm. But what they don't know is they're creating you.
Yeah.
Because your haters are not only just your elevators.
Every time, friend.
They're building you.
Every time a motherfucker puts up a picture or a post or a rant about me, they'll get their ones and twos right then and there. Mm-hmm. But they get me so many followers, and their followers don't even go up for the bullshit they say. You know, you think so, man. These fools, they like, if you're one of these men that like to talk about Grizzy, how does your girl feel? I wish I could interview a hater one day. Make yourselves available, man, because I want to know how does your girl feel that you got my name in your mouth all the time,
living rent free in the head.
There's literally guys like 3 years ago that got blocked because they said something racial. Let's talk about the blocking real quick.
Yeah.
I have blocked thousands of people, a good population of Houston. Mm-hmm. Some because they disrespect our missing kids. They'll make sexual comments. And I don't like chomos.
I've seen the comments.
Yeah, anybody that sexualizes a child, something's not right. And you don't fit in our society. The Hood News community is a little society. It doesn't matter who you are, or what you do for a living, or how much money you make, what color you are, what religion, what sexuality, you're welcomed in, because we're going to look out for each other, right? The bigger the community, the better. But what we don't want is people thinking it's okay that an old lady got jacked and robbed and pistol whipped. We don't want you here if you got to justify that. We don't want you disrespecting somebody else's kid and saying, oh, she's getting the D or something, you know, like stupid comments like that will get you landed out of the island, man. You're out of there. And so here I've got these dudes mad about being blocked for 3, 4 years, 5 years, whatever. And they're still like with the same energy. Just apologize. Reach out to me. Apologize. And we can get it done. My messenger, you're not blocked from the messenger. You can say, hey, I apologize. I'd like to come back. And I do unblock people. But we have to have that conversation first. Because I'm a grown woman. I don't do little kid shit. And see, that right there is what's wrong with a lot of news media outlets. They create divide.
Absolutely.
We create this. Like, hey, unity. Man, hey, shout out to you. Hey, I got you. I got you. You got me.
That's what community is about. Community.
Yeah. But right? We're not going to let people. And see, another thing is people get mad because people make racial comments. I can't sit there and babysit the comment section. There's a lot of expectations that people have. And it's only like one person running it. I got to go to the scene. I get up every day. I live on my phone like 16 hours a day. You know that. Like, you see me on my phone all the time. Like, literally at a stop sign, I pull over to look at stuff during my lunch. On the toilet, I'm, you know, looking at, when I'm showering, I'm answering somebody. I'm on the phone. They hear the shower. They're like, are you showering? Yeah. You know, I got to get your call. You know, I got to do this. So it is a lot of stuff that this entails. And people think I'm sitting on my ass waiting for them to message me. And then, like, there's expectations, man, and a lot of
like Mother Teresa too, as well. Sometimes you're almost seen like a saint, right? I texted you that the way, not that you know I'm saying that you're a saint, but I'm saying, like, you know, people go to you for every single thing, and your
stuff they can Google. Hey, Grizzy, do you know a place that's hiring? Hey, go Google that shit, man. There's a lot of job sources, man. Hey, we need a staffing agency. Sponsor, where y'all at? Because we need some sponsors, so hook it up.
We'll find somebody. But you know, I'm sure that the haters gonna dissect this podcast. I saw one, you know, a few weeks ago, and it was a woman, and she recorded your live, and she was dissecting your live. I'm like, this woman literally has.
Is that
time
the one where I was doing the brujeria stuff? Being
no,
funny?
With the hammer.
Oh yeah, my little gimbal, dude. Like, hammer. I like to kick it at night. That's my personality showing out. This same person, by the way, she got arrested and she's mad because I posted her mugshot from 2024, the summer of, where she had abuse of a credit card against elderly. That's what it says over in Galveston County, I think, one of those counties.
Right.
She's mad about that. And then I put that some other guy gets arrested for DUI, somebody well-known in the community, a reporter and all this stuff. And she somehow... Every time there's an opportunity to talk mess about me, she will. She even uses her daughter, her little girl, dude. There's no way I would allow my kid to poison my kid with my anger against somebody else and use my kid as a pawn to go after somebody else. There's
out
no
of hatred.
Way. Dude, I love my baby so much. I want her to be a good person. I want her to be everything I'm not. I want her to be excellence. And this female garbage woman has her little kid trying to talk shit to me in the messenger. Dude, the day I ever want to really expose them, I just sit back and let the bitch talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
The day I really want to chop somebody up to nothing and reduce them down to just crust on the pan, man, I'll tear her ass up. I'll tear her up alive. But the thing is, I just take the higher route.
And the amount, you know, of...
I could tell people what she's really doing, like robbing the old elderly, man. That was some...
There's always going to be, you know, the victim-minded mindset out there, too, as well, where you always say, oh, that's my poor mijo. He's such
an
angel.
I own up to my stuff. I did it 20 years ago. Yeah. Yes, I did. I did some shit, man. Mm-hmm. But you just did some shit this past summer. You ain't right yet.
Right.
You're not right yet. You're still dealing with all that shit legally, too.
Right. And how do you personally, yourself, how do you deal with
that? I used to respond back, but that just gives it more fuel. Now I just... I'll get a bunch of screenshots and I tell my friends, why didn't you have my back?
Yeah.
If you really felt, if it really angers you, because that's what bothers me more. Because let me tell y'all how Grizzy is. People have talked crap about my friends. I'll hop on, shut it down, and be done with it. My friend never even knows that I had to have their back. That's the kind of person I am. But a lot of these people, they don't know how to be good friends. They just, oh, Grizzy, look what they're saying about you. Go get them. No. Why do you wish that for me? Those aren't real friends. So I got a lot of followers that really aren't followers. They're foes. But I need them too. So, hey, welcome to the community. You don't owe me nothing. Nobody owes me anything.
Yeah.
So I just say it's part of the tea.
And when the so if somebody's life lesson here, they're dealing with hate, family. It could be family. It's your closest friends. Sometimes
it's gonna be hard at first because it took a lot to figure it out. They even had me like on a Halloween meme, you know, with the fake the what was it, the costume with my face on it, saying wig, fake jewelry, and all the stupid shit. And I'm like, you know what? It's all good. Like I learned from that instance. Some dude named Jose. Like his sister sells insurance. She's mad at me. They're mad. I don't even know what they're mad about, but whatever. Long story short, they're going to talk. And at some point, you know, you've entered a whole nother level when it don't even bother you no more. I wake up to like viral posts made about me.
Right.
And I'm just like, I've elevated. Like now I see it like that. But before it was like, oh my God, like I couldn't even, I was so taken aback.
I think when you get to that place where you embrace the hate, you become unstoppable.
Yeah.
And you realize that hate is only fuel to get you to that next level, right?
Yeah. They pushed me to the million followers. That last stupid shit that they did, it pushed it to the million. Thank you, bitch. Thank you.
When the camera's off, the live is done, what is Grizzy? Who is Grizzy?
Oh my gosh, so many things, man. I like to garden. I got that little soft side. I'm a romantic at heart, you know. Like I like a lot of like romance shows. I used to watch a lot of crime, like reality crime TV. Not anymore because we get to see it and live it. Yeah, I get to meet a lot. Let me tell y'all something, man. For everything I post, I know a whole lot more. It's just sometimes not convenient to disclose stuff to the public. I've learned a lot about ethics and, you know, having respect and being as honest, but also holding back because you can't give everything all at once because that could, you know, destroy some things. And these are things I've always learned to protect. I just had that instinct to always protect the victims, their families, the truth, the investigations. You know, I always try to be thoughtful. Like, what is this investigator not going to like if I post? What is this forensics person not going to like if I say? So just so much, like, I guess from watching all of that stuff, I don't know. But I don't watch any of that anymore because we get to see it and live it in real life. I watch a lot of, like, romance. I don't know why. I'm a big lover at heart. I love people. And I like to see people being happy.
What would you say in the last couple of years has been the lowest point in Hood News and I guess overall?
Lowest point of Hood News, man, was the Audrey Cunningham. You know, I needed therapy for that. Little girl, we always shared missing people, and there have been outcomes that were not favorable. But with this story, it was the first time where I actually went out to the place. We've done many searches. I need to stop and say that. Like, we've been part of many searches, like in bayous and all this other stuff. But this was the first time where a child was missing. And I drove to Livingston every day, you know, boom, 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 boom. Get the word out. So she went missing on a Thursday night. This little girl never got off the school bus is what the family was told. They started looking for her in the middle of the night, you know, searching out there. A lot of good Samaritans. Shout out to our Livingston people because they're very unified. They will help where they can all the time. I feel like I have family out there now. Like I have a place to go. And so the people of Livingston started searching. They, of course, you know, I'm all the way out in Houston. I don't know nothing about Livingston, but they asked me to share this. And sure enough, they were searching. And so I shared. And I was going to be on my way that same night, but even my family was like, my mom, she's like, Grizzy, you haven't even slept. I can tell that you have not slept. Sleep it out. Go first thing in the morning. So 6 o'clock, I was on my way to Livingston. And I went out there, and it was like day one official was a Friday. Friday, we're out there. They're searching the waters. They're searching everywhere for this precious little blonde girl with these gorgeous eyes, man, Audrey. And so day two, they don't find her that night, nothing. Day two, we start to see Texas EcuSearch. We start seeing more different counties coming in, Liberty County, Polk County, all the counties. Then, you know, so it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I come back to film with you, Hector, and you were here when I got the message, Grizzy. And I didn't share this with the public at the time, but I got the message, hey, they found her. So I drove fast.
Here.
Drove straight over there. And I was just like, oh, my God, what is going on, man? Like, and the viewers got to see that with me. They got to be with me because of the Facebook live streams. And so they got to be every part of the way. But I had to hold back and tell from telling people what I knew because I didn't even know if the family knew. Just always everything with respect in due time. For me, it's not a rush to be the first one to know something or the first one to show something. It's about having the information right. You know, and that's what people are going to respect more. Not so much the know-it-all, none of that. We had people saying that her body had been found like that Friday when I was out there. And that's where a lot of those TikTok people started losing a lot of credibility. They were doing stuff for likes and whatnot. And so that was the lowest. That was the lowest I ever felt. Like, I'm like, damn, do I even want to do this anymore?
And that was my next question is that, do you ever feel like quitting?
When it comes to children, crimes against children,
right?
I don't feel like quitting, but I can't take it, man. Especially when you know more than what is being put out there. Like, I'm a insider. I get to know what's going on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so, because I talk to the families, I talk to people, you know, the searchers.
I guess and it's trauma.
Yeah.
And it's to cover these stories, you know, let's compare it to the major media outlets that are out there. They have like 20, 30 reporters. You're it. Mm-hmm. You are Grizzy from Grizzy's Hood News. There's one reporter and she's trying to cover everything in Houston, and Houston is a nonstop news, you know, it's nonstop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're covering from, you know, the stories from like just this weekend, the Cypress Station shooting that happened out there, Rampage. It was a shooting and then it was a arson at the same time. There's constant feeds. It's nonstop. Yes. But does it ever once like just hit you all at once? Like, what the heck is going on? Or just,
I just like, I'm astounded by all of it. Like, dang, I'm doing this shit, man. Yeah. This is crazy. Like, I wake up still not believing that just yesterday I was working that 9 to 5, feeling hopeless, feeling like suicidal, feeling overwhelmed, like the bills weren't getting paid on time. And that, damn, do I pay this tuition for my daughter? How am I going to pay this light, man? Damn, you know, just stuff like that. Oh, man, it was just like a constant stress. And so, no, I'm in a more peaceful place now, more growth. There's nothing really now that's said to me that's not shocking.
Right.
I used to be shocked by every little thing. Now it's like, who got murdered? What happened? Okay, what time? Okay, but before, oh, really? Oh, my God. Like, no, now it's like, okay, so what do they have the suspect? Do we know what's going on? How can we help you? Mm. You know, that kind
of
thing.
And just a true testament of how God works. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's truly, and when people say, oh, like, you know, God gives the greatest battles to the toughest warriors.
Yes.
You know, you're a true testament of that. Like, if it wasn't for the toughness that how you were raised, from how we talked about early in this podcast and how we're Grizzy from the beginning, even like stopping her in her tracks, even putting her in the, you know, behind bars and serving time, it built an incredible, strong woman who is changing lives. You know, one of, you know, just recently, one of my best friends, he reminded me, he said, Hector, do you realize that when my son went missing, Grizzy made a post and posted out there, and immediately within 20 minutes within her posting it, he was found?
Yeah, them kids don't want to be on the Hood News.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't have found my son.
Oh, dang.
You know, and those are stories that we probably don't ever hear of the stuff that happens, but there's purpose in here. And, you know, I talk about how there's purpose in everyone, but in entrepreneurship, we do go into entrepreneurship because we feel a purpose to help others.
Yeah.
Some of us happen to get paid for us. You know, first you weren't getting paid. Like, you were doing this on your own. You're using your own money.
I monetized for a little bit, but I cuss too much. The word murder, they don't like it. Rape and all that. It's some craziness. If anybody ever wants to monetize off of anything, just, they don't like real. So if you want to create TikTok dances all day, you'll get paid.
Yeah.
But if you want to do something substantial, you have to find a different avenue for that. Because
this Facebook, is different.
Yeah, this is different.
Yeah. And, you know, and that goes to our sponsors too, as well, is that it takes a certain group of sponsors to understand the vision and what the Hood News stands for. But just the purpose overall of what this woman represents, It's moving, and you know, and I would say, man, I applaud you, and I work with you every day.
Uh-huh.
Every day I work with this woman, and it's nonstop, and I'm like, this is a purpose. This is what we're doing. We put this post up. We put these things up. There is somebody's lives that's being changed, yes. And that's what it's about at the end of the yes. day. Mm-hmm. If you can go back, let's say when Hood News started, not necessarily back to when you were younger, mm-hmm. what would you do differently?
Well, I will say this, man. Anybody wanting to do something like what I'm doing, maybe not having your face out there. If I could change anything, I wouldn't even have put my face out there, because like I have to have a lot of privacy now. Like my love life, nobody knows, has a clue what's going on in my love life. Nobody knows what my daughter looks like. I don't even remember when's the last time I posted a picture of my daughter on my personal. Yeah. I don't trust anybody that's on there. I don't know these people like that. I've learned to hunker down and be more private. You know, like if I'm at the store, there's people snapping pictures of me. It's weird. I'm like, I ain't nobody. Like, but you know, it's still something. Like my privacy is out the way. Like, I have none. If I go out on a date, you know, they will see me out there with my date. You know, I'm like, mind your business, you know, and I'm just like, whatever. No, but I wish I would have taken myself out of it and just, you know, but would it even be what it is today? Because a lot of pages run anonymous. I guess it's for
There's
the better
no personality to it.
Yeah, I just gotta stay prayed up. There's people like, oh my God, aren't you scared? Nah, you know how many times I try to take myself out and I couldn't. I wasn't successful, and I do have the scars to prove it. Mm. So like, what it is to be is to be.
Yeah.
But if I could have changed something, it would probably be less of my face out there, because it's out there.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I don't know. I just stay prayed up.
What is something that you would tell a young entrepreneur, or somebody trying to start a business? You know, about business and entrepreneurship.
Okay, you don't have fun. You're not gonna have fun. You sacrifice. You're gonna work, man, at least 16 hours a day, if not more. Like, you wake up, you eat it. Like, that's how I am with Hood News. That's my baby, man. People are like, oh, she thinks she's all that. No, I just love what I've done, like, with this thing, you know, with the peeps and everything. It's amazing. Like, you be proud. Stand by your product. Believe in yourself and don't take breaks because the hustle never stops, man. And that's what connected us.
Yep.
And other people that I have met along the way, the people that are real successful, they don't take breaks. They don't take breaks, dude. Like, they're distracted, man. I could be at a party with friends, which is very rare, and I'm on my phone checking that messenger, making sure I'm putting out the updates as it's coming in.
You know, it's very true, Grizzy. You know, the hustle never stops, right?
Yeah.
And I was telling just one of my employees here, and you know, it was just recently, and I was like, man, I haven't taken a true vacation. Like, even though I've gone on trips, right?
Yeah,
I go on
trips. You've been on trips, but you're working.
But I'm Hood News mode, mm-hmm. right? And I'm also Brand Nation mode mm-hmm. at the same time. So I remember just like about a year ago, I was up in Cozumel, and I used to go to Cozumel like every 3 months.
Yeah.
And you know, where I was at, there was no reception.
Wow.
But I would have to walk up to the top of the sand, right, to the street.
Wow.
Which is a good walk.
Yeah.
From the beach to the road.
Whoa.
To get signal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that every 30 minutes to see what was coming in.
Oh my God.
But even on like my vacation from my family and everything, because they pay the price too.
Yeah.
But like you said, when you look at people like yourself, and you look at Mac, and you look at all these incredible people who are great visionaries, they do it because they believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to do, no matter what, you're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's absolutely true. You know, there's no true freedom.
No,
you're
going to be like moving all the time. Man.
Yep.
You eat it, you dream it, you sleep it, you drink it. Like, man, that level, that musician's the same thing, man. Like, you cannot take that away from somebody, man. The hustle will make you,
mm-hmm.
or if lack of it will break you.
What's the worst advice you've ever received?
Mind your own business. What? Mind your business.
What's one piece of advice that sounded like bullshit, but it actually changed your life?
Well, there were some people mm-hmm. saying, oh, you got to be careful with your life and be afraid and all this stuff. No, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't. No.
Right.
No, Just, you know, amarrate los huevos, you know, yep. amarrados, you know, that means tie up those bowels and just get it done, man. Just go out there, but don't be afraid. Like, we can't, you can't sit, like, the hood news, I can't be a scary bitch, like, being,
right.
doing the hood news. The day I ever get scared, that's the day I retire.
And you know, one thing I would tell you that I learned from you, one of the things mm-hmm. is that I shared with my stories, and I can't, some of the stories I can't say on mm-hmm. camera, mm-hmm. but you told me, Hector, everybody has a story.
Yes, everybody has a story.
Everybody has gone through their stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And man, I was like, what? Stop thinking like, don't be a damn, you know, the gross, grow up here.
Yeah.
And keep moving, keep moving.
Yes, everybody's moving. Got something, man. Yeah. Like, and a lot of the things that I report, like I used to think my life wasn't shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn, man, I actually do have it a little better than maybe somebody else. Like, it makes you appreciate.
Right.
Like, man, just follow the hood news and you'll see, man, like, you think you got it bad, somebody's got it worse. And we believe it or not, even if you got it really, you're at your lowest and everything, you still have the strength to bring up the next person, no matter where you are in your life. And that's what it's about, like people helping people. We've had homeless people solve crime. We've had homeless people take in a missing kid and keep them warm in their tent.
Wow.
And then provide them, you know, shelter until they were found. You know, we've had situations where it's just like, who did this? What? Not some guy with a badass truck or, you know, no, a person with nothing.
Mm.
Just a tent and some scraps and stuff they found in the dumpster, keeping somebody safe. Anybody can be a hero at any time.
And if this was your last interview ever, what would be what's the message you'd leave behind?
I work so hard. I don't care what y'all say or what y'all think y'all know. I'm not sitting on my ass. I work so much. Like, man, if y'all could get a glimpse in a day of me, you wouldn't even be saying half the shit some of y'all say. But that's about it.
Yeah, I remember the day you called me at 5 a.m, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I have my phone on D&D, mm-hmm. except if it's my wife, my kids, and Grizzy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because it is nonstop for you.
Mm-hmm. When we wake up, that was the one with the
Facebook.
Yeah,
dude, that's always something.
I thought the whole page had gotten thrown away. It said that I was imposter. I was like, what? There's some sort of glitch or something. Facebook is trippy. Make sure to follow us everywhere else because Facebook is not a guaranteed anymore.
And what's next for Hood News?
Well, look, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I skip up a lot of opportunities. ABC 2020, that show. They mm-hmm. wanted to do, like, something with me. I'm such a private person, and I don't want to let people in. There's only, like, very few people that have ever been in my house. My neighbors are my family, you know. I'm surrounded by good people. I stay in the hood. I think this is it, you know. I think just growing it into more.
And it's rare that you do these types of things, too,
as well. Yeah, I don't. I turned down a dude offering to pay me $2,000. I'm like, nah, I don't want to be. Maybe I'll do it. I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, I'm just like, dang. And I got to get him to go through you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just happy where it's at right now. God, it's whatever God says. I'm going to just roll with it, you know, wherever you want to go.
Yeah, go with the flow and go with God. You know, was it that, you know, man could make plans, but God just laughs at it and mm-hmm. say, you know what, watch my plan.
Yeah, watch my plan.
Yeah. And, you know, any last things you want to add?
No, just love your children, please. We see a lot of craziness on the hood news because there's a lot of young people out there just lost, and I feel like they just need more love, man. Whether it be from the teachers maybe that need to step up or the parents at home. Please don't bring children into the world if you don't want to love them and care for them. And that's about it. Just love your neighbor and respect, man. Stay off these streets because if we catch you on camera and you're messing up, we're going to identify you. You're going to be on the hood news. We're going to make you famous.
Yeah, well, Grizzy, thank you so
thank
much
you,
for
Hector,
joining me.
You
know, thank you,
you
so much. Love you too.
Yes.
And thank you for joining me on episode number 3.
Yes.
If you want to find out more information on Hood News and Grizzy's Hood News, go to grizzyshoodnews.com or on Facebook or Instagram. You'll definitely find her. You can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the latest and greatest of what's going on in media, changing the media landscape. This woman right here is pioneering things, and it's changing the way media and journalism is being delivered to you. In a time when people don't trust media, they are trusting people and individuals like Grizzy. Grizzy, I love
you. Thank you. I love you.
The city of Houston
loves
you,
Hector.
And I know I speak for a good amount of people who truly believe in rooting behind you.
Oh yeah, so. The haters are rooting too because they make fake profiles just to watch, and I let them.
Hey, bad publicity is always good publicity too. You know, keep it up. But thanks for watching episode 3. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, share this as well. Thank you again, and stay tuned. We got more hood news
on the way.